Good morning again, and I'm so thankful for all of you being here on this another beautiful day of life that the Lord has given us. I'm so thankful for the good health of all of us, and we pray for our sister Fran each and every day, all day long, and she's doing a lot better. We're so thankful for that, dear Lord. You know, brethren, since the closeness of the death of Fran, I believe we need to study more about what the Bible says about what to expect in death. Remember, and I've told you this many times, we are all just one breath away from eternity. Just one breath away from eternity. Brethren, it is appointed for man to die, and after this, the judgment. The history of the human race is as much about the history of death as it is of life. And all who have lived in the past, with the exception of Enoch and Elijah, have died, and all who are living now will one day die. And I want you to think about all those people that you have known from the past few years who have passed on from this earth. We all know several and have lost several who are close to us. Psalms 89 verse 48 says, "What man can live and never see death?" Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes 9. Now when Solomon said in verse 5 of Ecclesiastes 9, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." Solomon would voice something that all of us know, yet it is not something we want to talk about. It is a subject that we dread. The only event that would prevent us from dying would be the return of Jesus Christ at during our lifetime. For then the dead will be raised, and the living will be changed. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's read verses 51 and 52. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed." Brethren, the living will be transformed at His coming. The living will be transformed at His coming. All of us should expect death, because God has pointed this scene in Hebrews 9:27 when He said, "And He is appointed to man to die once, but after this the judgment." As a consequence of the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden when they ate the forbidden fruit, physical death was appointed to the human race. So let's refresh our memory of that event. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. Let's read verses 22 through 24. "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 through 24. Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, a man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever, Therefore, the Lord sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, turn back to 1 Corinthians, this time verse 20, 15, chapter, this time verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. Remember, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. This is a reference to physical death, brethren, physical death. The transgression of Adam and Eve brought sin into the world, and through sin, death. Look at Romans 5, if you would, verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12. Paul said, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. This is a reference to spiritual death, brethren. Spiritual death. Each accountable human being dies a spiritual death because of their own sin. Spiritual death is not as much a reality as physical death. A man by the name of D. Stuart Briscoe of the Spirit of Life wrote this, and I quote, he said, when I moved to the U.S., I was impressed with the number of total strangers who visited my home to wish me well. They all sold insurance. One day my visitor was talking about the necessity to be prudent in the preparation of all possibilities. If something should happen to you, Mr. Briscoe, he started to say. But I interrupted with, please don't say that. It upsets me. He was a little startled, but he tried again. But with all due respect, sir, we must be ready if something should happen to us. Don't say that, I insisted. Well, he looked totally bewildered, and he said, I don't understand what I said to upset you. Then I'll tell you, I replied. It upsets me that you talk about life's only certainty as if it is a possibility. Death isn't a possibility. It is a certainty. And you don't say if, you say when, whenever death is a subject. It is logical to expect death at any age because people die at all ages of life, the young, the old, and in between. Most of us fully expect to live a long life before death comes. The rich farmer in Luke 12 planned to store up all of his possessions so he could enjoy it for many, many years, he said. But he never expected to die so soon. But God said to him in Luke 12:20, he said, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? The millions who live and die in this generation plan to live a long time. I know all of us do. We hope to. When death suddenly stares us in the face, only then do we accept it with a lot of difficulty. Now, I'm not saying we sit around waiting to die. It's good to make plans, for we must understand that we will die. In death, the inner man separates from the outer man. Our spirit will depart from the temple of clay in which it has lived. James said in James 2:26, he said, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith from the works is dead. In Luke 16:22, where the death of the poor beggar Lazarus is recorded, his sin departed from his disease-ridden body, his spirit departed from his disease-ridden body and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. This is what happens when faithful Christians die. Think of this. Just think of this. Angels of God transport the real us, or the inner man, to paradise, where we will await the resurrection at the last day. Angels of God will transport us there. It's very important now that you understand this. Many who die today expect death to enact some extraordinary changes for them that they are unwilling to make while alive. One of the great judgment day surprises will be the shocking revelation that the experience of death does not imitate a change in their spiritual conditions before God. So let's look at what not to expect in death. We should not expect to die unsaved and be raised saved and a glorified person in that day. We must be in Christ, to be saved. Christ is the relationship where salvation with eternal glory is found, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. I want you to look with me at 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. And look at verse 11 when we get there. 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is a testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. In His Son. Where is eternal life? In His Son. In Christ is eternal life. Now turn to Galatians chapter 3, if you would. Let's read verses 26 and 27 when you get there. Paul said, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." But one does not get into Christ after death. Too late. King Hezekiah wrote in Isaiah 38:19, he says, "For Sheol does not thank you, death does not praise you, those who go down to the pit do not hope for your faithfulness." So you see, beyond the gates of death, one cannot obey the gospel and enter into Christ. We may get into Christ only while we're alive on this earth. So we should not expect to die out of Christ and to be raised in Him on the resurrection morning. Now friends, if you're not in Christ today, you need to obey the gospel and put on Christ while you have the opportunity. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what Peter told the burdened people on the day of Pentecost when they cried out, "What shall we do?" They didn't know what to do to be saved. They said, "Peter, tell us what to do to be saved." He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost." That's the same answer that I give you today to get into Christ. And the only way to get into Christ is through baptism. Now, it would be vain to expect to die as a backsliding Christian and be raised a faithful one when Jesus comes again. It'd be crazy. Please understand, the experience of death will not make an unfaithful Christian into a faithful one. If we are unrighteous and spiritually filthy when we die, we will still be unrighteous and filthy when we are raised. I like what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 3, if you'd turn with me. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 3. Solomon says, If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. What we are spiritually when we die will be what we are spiritually when we stand before Christ in the judgment. Brethren, the time to repent of our worldliness and backsliding is now, right now, this very, very morning, while we're still living on this earth. Turn to Revelation chapter 2 with me, please. Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, the church to the church at Ephesus, Jesus said, Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Unless you repent. So let me ask you a couple questions here. We should not expect to die a liar and be raised a truth teller. We should not expect to die as a thief and be raised as an honest person. We should not expect to die as a murderer and be raised as a guiltless person. We should not expect to die a gossiper and a backslider and be raised an encourager. We should not expect to die a covetous person and be raised a content person. We should not expect to die a drunkard and be raised a sober person. We should not expect to die a fashionist and be raised a peacemaker. We should not expect to die in an adulterous marriage relationship and expect to be raised with everything right and acceptable to God. Let me emphasize again. With everything that I got, I want to emphasize to you the time to make the necessary changes in our lives and correct whatever is wrong is now, right now, while we have the opportunity. Remember, as I started the sermon this morning, I said, all of us are only a breath away from eternity. Just think, a breath away from eternity. Are you ready? Death will not make any changes in one's character nor in the condition of his soul. Now, what should we expect in death? Nearly everyone fears dying and death, looking at it as something to be dreaded. Most of us look at death as a terrible monster with the jaws wide open to swallow us up and forever bring all joy and happiness to an end. I think Christians dread the pain of dying more than anything else. But in reality, death to a Christian is a wonderful transition. It's a great transition from this life that is filled with pain and disappointment to a life of better and a brighter realm, a time to greet the saints of God from every age. Think of that. Greet and meet the saints of God from every age. The ones we've read about and studied about, we'll be able to meet them. Look at Revelation 14. Verse 13. What God's people should expect in death is shown in Revelation 14 and verse 13. Where the voice of John heard from heaven said, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." Our good works, brethren, our good works, our bad works, they follow us. They follow us. This revelation from heaven shows that at death, Christians enter to a place and a state of rest that the good works that they did while on this earth will follow them. Isn't that wonderful to know that? The good works we did will follow us. These good works will stand as a memorial of the faithful service they rendered while they lived. Paul shows in Romans 2:16 that even the secret things which others are not have not seen and do not know about, they'll be revealed on the day of judgment. And Solomon tells us the same thing in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. He says, "For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." Brethren, you cannot fool God. Don't try to. Soldiers who have been in the battlefield know something about the sweetness of rest following the battle. Every laborer in the field knows the satisfaction of enjoying rest at the end of a long day's work. Soldiers of Christ who have used the two-edged sword of the Spirit against the enemies of the Lord are assured of a sweet rest too. The worn-out saints who have labored in the vineyard, even those who came in at the 11th hour, will sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the eternal kingdom of God and rest from their labors. I wish you'd turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4 with me if you would. Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 4 and verse 1, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it." Down in verse 11 he says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest any one fall according to the same example of disobedience." Be diligent, brethren, be diligent. What a rest it will be. What a rest it will be. And Christians also have the right to expect in death all the treasures laid up in heaven. All the treasures that they've had are laid up in heaven. They'll be awaiting us, kept securely by the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 6:20, "Lay up not for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Whether we give a cup of water to a thirsty, or clothe those who are naked, share our food with the hungry, help the unfortunate with what they need, we are laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven." When Jesus said, "Lay up for yourselves," he's making this an individual responsibility. Did you notice? "Lay up for yourselves," he said. That is an individual responsibility. Just as money deposited into a bank earns interest for our account, so do those loving, sympathetic acts of mercy and generosity will accrue to our eternal account. Lay by in store to be used for the needy Christians, and the evangelistic work will accrue to our eternal account as well. Thieves, stock market crashes, governments, catastrophes cannot take away the treasures we have deposited in the bank of heaven. In death, they are all in heaven's bank, secured by the only safe and secure banker of all. Also, in death, the people of God can expect relief from their passions, from their sicknesses, and from the weaknesses of the flesh. Look at Philippians chapter 3. In verse 21, Paul tells us that Christ will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. What a great relief it will be, forever free from the burning passions, the terrible pains, the sufferings, and the tears, all of which are typical of this fleshly body. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul said in verse 4, "For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." Faithful Christians expect to shed off this mortal body with its sickness and its grief and its pain and the dread of dying, and enter into a glorious spiritual body which Jesus said is equal to the angels in Luke 20 and verse 36 and is fitted for eternity. Now look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Although John wrote that the body we have not yet appeared, 1 John 3:2, we glory at the assurance of verse 18 of Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite verses. Verse 18 of chapter 8 of Romans. "The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And that we will be, verse 21, he says, "We will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Faithful Christians strive their entire life to be like Christ. We have the right to expect to be just like Christ when our transformation takes place at the resurrection. And I pulled this poem out of my old files, and I thought it'd be time to read it this morning. I thought it'd be a good time. It's just called The Sands of Time. Swiftly and surely they're running out, the sands of time for me. Swiftly and surely the days go by. May I live for them, Lord, for Thee. Soon I shall leave this sinful world for a land that is ever fair. Soon I shall leave my frail house here for a mansion over there. Only a few years yet remain, and I shall be no more. Only a few years left until I stand on eternity's shore. Unworthy of His love and grace, I know I shall ever be. Unworthy of the life He gave on Calvary, on Calvary's cross for me. But He only asked that I serve Him here while waiting His loving call. He only asked that I tell the world of salvation free for all. So I'll gladly tell of that beautiful home as I near life-setting sun, and I'll gladly tell of the welcome there when the course of life is run. Are you ready, dear friend, to meet the Lord with a faith that has no doubt? Are you ready to stand at the judgment bar when the sands of time run out? So in conclusion, what are you expecting in death? What right do you have to choose those expectations? Remember, as you enter into the valley of the shadow of death, there will be no extraordinary changes in the status of your character or your spiritual condition in the sight of God. What you are at the time you walk into those chilly waters of the river of death will be what you are in the sight of God when you cross. The only logical and safe course for one to take in this life is to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and to live a faithful life that will honor and glorify God. You may ask what to expect if I'm not a child of God. Well, I would just say that you will be separated from God for eternity. You will not enjoy heavenly treasure. You will have an eternal body that will experience pain for eternity. Think about this. For eternity, you'll be in blackness. Not dark, blackness. You'll be in blackness. You'll never see a tree again. You'll never see grass again. You'll never see the sun or the moon. You'll never see rain or the snow. Or you'll never see the rivers or the valleys again. Never again. You will be separated from God forever and ever and ever in total blackness and in eternal pain. And you know what? It's your choice. You don't have to go there. You have the choice. And so I beg you, make the change now. Put on Christ in baptism today. You may say, well, how do I do that? How do I put on Christ? Well, I'll tell you. If an unbeliever believe after hearing the word, repent and be baptized. If a believer repent and be baptized. If a penitent believer be baptized. If a child of God then make election and call and sure, endure to the end, be faithful unto death. And brethren, please let us help you get to heaven. Please let us help you get to heaven. Can we help anyone in any way? Please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.